We'll go ahead and get started. First of all, I just wanted to thank everyone for joining today. I'm Erica, and I wanted to thank you as well for your hard work during these trying times. I know it's a little difficult time for everyone in work and your family life. We thought it was important to bring as many members together as we could to share your responses to the pandemic. KRPA is working hard to keep as up to date as possible and be your clearinghouse for information. We have a web page. It's on the slide that you see in front of you. We've devoted to resources. I just sent Amanda new resources about 5 minutes ago on the paid leave that is coming down from the federal government and the new bill they just passed. So be sure to look at those. I'm not sure if she has them up yet or not. But we will update it as quickly as we can. Or if it's extremely urgent, we'll probably post to the discussion forum. A couple of days ago, we asked the members to send in their questions on the coronavirus. We have compiled the questions and asked Tony Finley, Director of Hutchinson Recreation Commission, and Jeff Stewart, Executive Director of the Johnson County Park and Rec District, to answer these questions in regards to how they are handling the situation. However, we also want to hear from you. Once we have asked the question, Jeff and Tony will be answering, and then I will enter it into the chat box, and then please respond if you'd like to. So we are recording this call and recording the chat box. So both will be available to all members after the call today. We have grouped the questions into categories, just your initial response, employees, summer activities, and then communication. At the end, if we have time, we will open it up for questions. You are all on mute, so you will need to ask through the chat box. Okay. All right. I'll let Jeff and Tony say hi when they start to answer their first question. So let's get started. So the first question is, what types of facilities are departments closing and through what date? Ahead, Jeff.
Okay, so hi everybody. Thanks for giving some time here this afternoon to participate in this. I'm actually really interested in some of your answers to some of these questions. So please do participate through chat and whatnot so we can learn from you as well. Types of facilities and how long we are keeping them closed. It's kind of a fluid here. It's changing, and we expect it to continue to change, just taking a look at the patterns. But for us, JCPRD has closed all of its indoor facilities that run our various activities, events, programs. So this could include our nature center, our field houses, our museum, our arts and heritage center, any and all of our buildings. We have also closed off to the public our administrative offices, our registration office, and so on. So all of those buildings have been closed through at least April 23rd. We have also on the outdoor facilities, while our parks and trails continue to be open, as well as our two golf courses, we have closed off our playgrounds and our outdoor courts just to try and discourage some of the gathering that we have experienced taking place. So April 23rd is our date right now. We are working very closely with the Johnson County government and the Johnson County Health and Environment Department. And so our stay-at-home order that's in to effect currently will go through that date. So we're just taking it one step at a time and working closely with them. Everybody hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you,
Good.
Jeff.
All
Oh, there you
right.
are,
Yeah,
Penny.
I'm here.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Again, thanks everyone for joining today. Echo Jeff's comments. I'm hoping to learn from you all as well on what you're doing and how you're handling this. It's really an unusual time for everyone. Similar to what Johnson County's done, we've closed all indoor facilities here in Hutchinson, sports arena, nature center, indoors, senior center, our downtown office, and fitness centers as well. So all the indoor is shut down. The only exception is we are still serving meals out of our senior center. It's a curbside pickup situation right now. We started that on Monday. So the kitchen for the senior center is still open, but public is not allowed inside the facility. In regards to outdoor facilities, Justin Combs with City Parks, just yesterday they closed the playgrounds down, and I believe that includes all shelter houses as well. So really right in line with what we're seeing across Kansas and in the nation at this point.
Tony, I think you addressed this, but the next question was your fitness centers. How long are you closing those?
We did everything until further notice. Just how fluid the situation is and the different dates, you know, in different communities. We felt just until further notice made sense for us, so we weren't having to constantly go back and adjust that. Our hope is it's just the end of April. We are proceeding that things will be lessened, the restrictions will be lessened by the end of April. But right now, until further notice.
Okay. The next question is, how are departments keeping the public out of closed facilities, playgrounds that are not gated, for instance?
That's a great question. Our first step, and we just closed our playgrounds and our outdoor courts effective yesterday. The areas that we can secure, such as pickleball courts, where we're able to lock gates to keep people out, we're doing so, but also including some signage. We are starting with efforts to provide signage, multiple signs at each of the playgrounds, but we'll continue to monitor that. We chose to not attempt to do snow fencing or any kind of police caution tape, anything of that nature around the equipment at this point in time. So we'll see how signage goes, continue to monitor that, and then make some adjustments if necessary. I do know that some of the cities in Johnson County and in the Kansas City metropolitan area, some of them have started to fence or around their playgrounds or used that police caution tape. So there's examples of all of those around this area.
Similar here in Hutch, just signage for the playgrounds and, you know, just public information through the city and through HutchRec about the playgrounds are closed. Our outdoor athletic facilities that are able to lock, we have locked those, and that's really not unusual. We do that anyway. But right now, any outdoor courts, basketball courts, all fields, those are remaining available. You know, if somebody came up, they're not locked or signed that they're closed at this time.
I might add, too, that in some cases, like on the basketball courts, where staff has actually removed the rims from the goals, they've done that. Tennis courts will remove the netting there as well. We just were recognizing that even the communication and signage was not stopping play. In fact, our pickleball courts the other night, earlier this week, were packed with people waiting to play. So we're having to go that next step in this area at this point.
I think that's important too, the differences across the state. As you get further west, I think we're delayed a little bit from what they're doing in Johnson County. I know Wichita has the shelter in place or stay at home order, what you call it. You know, here we don't have that yet. We're expecting that either today or this weekend. And so we might have to move to that next level, as Jeff spoke of removing nets and so forth, but we're not there yet in Hutch.
Jeff, we had a question come in. Did you say two of your golf courses remain open?
Yes, actually, and I'm glad that question came in. We had closed them earlier in the week, and there were some questions about that. We were actually asked to do so. And so we came together with some of our neighboring agencies and really worked at developing some touchless golf guidelines, things that would be put in place to avoid the contact, such as all of our transactions happening electronically. One person per cart will sanitize the carts after each use. The flags are either pulled from the greens and or the cups are elevated, so you're not having to reach into the cups. So we've made a number of adjustments. We put that in front of the health officer here in Johnson County, as well as the health and environment director. They felt that all of those measures were very appropriate and approved for us and other golf courses to reopen at this point in time. What we'll have to do is closely monitor to see how well folks are doing with that social distancing as we move forward.
Okay, we had a couple of questions just come in, so I'm going to take them now. But if everyone else can hold off on questions, we'll get to them at the end. So the first one is, the governor's 60-day declaration of no gathering over 10 people runs through May 18th. How is that impacting people's plans to open facilities in April? Are you limiting the number of people?
Yes, for us, anything that we would have that would have 10 people or more, even if facilities are reopened, and that's really the big question is, will that be extended? I suspect there's a good chance of that, but we are following those guidelines of 10 people or less than 10 people, and whether that be indoors or outdoors. So our picnic shelter reservations would fall in line with that, our pavilions, our programs, our events, or outside groups that use our park facilities as well.
The same. We're not planning on opening anything in April at all, and it would continue on into May. Again, that's why we did the until further notice, to just limit those extensions, if you will, as things change. Our hope is that the next few weeks things become clear. There's a little bit more assurances on how long this is going to be. And then at that time, we can start maybe setting dates for the reopening of facilities.
Okay. And I'm going to ask this next one, but I'm asking everyone else to please hold off on your questions till the very end. But I know we don't have this one in there. How will agencies go about disinfection once this has resolved? Use a professional service?
Well, I think can be a combination of things. There may be professional services out there that can assist with that. Certainly staff recognize the areas that are touched or where you have the public in those spaces. And so probably evaluating and stepping up the game depending on your practices for cleaning and disinfection. So I think that's something that we will also have to continue to look at and maybe adjust accordingly.
I agree with Jeff. Well, I didn't. There's really nothing new to add there. So
okay.
It's just really wait and see on what those recommendations are. When we do open back up, I'm sure there's going to be a list of, guidance there on how you're supposed to clean your facility before we open. So we'll see what that looks like.
Okay, great. All right. Are any departments offering licensed childcare options in any of your facilities, or have all of the departments completely shut down all programs, including childcare? And I kind of want to also ask, I know some of you have been asked to open up for first responders' children, and so if you guys want to address that as well.
Sure, absolutely. with this continues to evolve for us, with the schools shutting down for the remainder of the year here in Johnson County, that certainly impacted our children's services programming that we provided. We're in many schools, just under 70 facilities, I believe, with our before and after school programming, and we do a number of camps as well. So we've been communicating with Johnson County and our health officials on what might be appropriate moving forward. Currently, we are not providing those services, but they are being evaluated from a group or a task force that is working together. That includes school officials, JCPRD, other child care providers here in this area. They've done some survey work here recently with our first responders and perhaps even our healthcare professionals to see if they have a need for child care services. They wanted to start there and continuing to evaluate that. It seems that about half do have such a need and half don't. So we're continuing those conversations, and we're prepared to move forward with our team to provide assistance in that. My understanding is it would have to be in groups of less than 10. So that does change our programming and what we've done, but we're prepared to go back into the schools or perhaps even some of our facilities to provide that that service, even on a limited basis.
We're currently not providing and have not been asked to provide licensed daycare. We don't have that through the school year. Our only licensing is through the summer normally, but we use school facilities for that program throughout the summer. So there would have to be, they would have to let us into the schools to do what we do. So again, we're a little bit later than what they're dealing with in Johnson County. So that has not been a major discussion item to date in Hutch.
Okay. How are you managing the bad behavior of patrons?
The pickleball players are the worst. They were actually in the news here the other night, filling up our courts. But, you know, we have a park police force with JCPRD, so we are patrolling our parks and our facilities on a regular basis. They're 24-7 operations. So that I recognize that certainly is of great support to us. I think visiting with our chief here even today, they are printing off some of the guidelines that the CDC has provided and just reminding folks, passing those out, reminding folks when they approach a group of people that we all are in this together, and just ask for their them to acknowledge that and their participation so that we can continue to keep our parks and our trails open for everyone. So. But it will be, we've had some challenges with it, admittedly so. Some folks not wanting to follow that that practice. And so we'll continue to try to encourage them to join the rest of us so we can enjoy our parks and trails.
Same here. We have, a group of residents that don't want to follow the guidelines. We are continuing to send that message out. To not group, and using the graphics provided by NRPA, to communicate that. There's not been no big issue, I guess, other than just trying to communicate those to the public and trying to express that if we want the parks to stay open, we got to quit doing this. So we'll continue to message that, and it'll be interesting if the shelter-in-place order comes down for us today, how that'll change how residents are perceiving the issue at hand.
You know, I might add just a little bit to that, because we are under a stay-at-home order. Parks are and trails are considered essential services. There's encouragement for folks that are healthy, not experiencing the symptoms, to go ahead and use these big open spaces and get your exercise and so on and so forth. But there are folks from our community that have expressed concern. They feel that these areas should be shut down because people are gathering. One thing I read this morning was one perception was it's almost like vacation time for folks. They're all out in the parks and there's a lot of people. And we are experiencing high visitation rates in all of our parks and our trails.
Okay. Are you planning with other community services to prepare for the virus to spread further, such as emergency management, hospitals, et cetera?
Yeah, we have been in pretty close communication with our partners here, including the Johnson County Health Department, Johnson County government. I know there's a lot of daily contact with our health systems, our healthcare providers, our school districts. So I think as challenging as it is, we understand that it's very active here in our part of the state. So we anticipate that will continue here for a little bit, but all the communication lines seem to be open as we try to prepare for what could come or what is here even. You know, again, those health officials that we have are providing some great guidance to us as best that they can. Things change on them on a daily basis too.
Not at this time. We're not have not received any requests for use of recreation facilities for emergency use at this time.
One of our first steps too, there will be some at one of our facilities or in the parking lot of it, we'll be lending it out so that meals can be passed out of a truck, essentially, that working with a group of folks. So that's a first step, and we're prepared to do other things as the community needs it.
Tony, are you preparing with emergency management at all, or has that not even come up yet?
That has not come up yet at this time. No.
Okay. Because the next question that kind of goes along with that, do you anticipate our facilities will need to be used if the virus spreads to levels that are seen like on the coast? So such as New York City, their rec centers are opened up as temporary hospitals or temporary morgues.
Yeah, we have given some thought to that. We understand that there could be a call out. We have a number of large buildings, large facilities, as well as open space. It could be sports complexes, the fields that are within them. So we recognize that there could be a need for the community to use some of those spaces at some point in time.
Next question. You kind of have addressed this. Are your playgrounds still open to the public? Did you guys already address that?
Yes, we are. We are not.
Yeah.
You're not.
Playgrounds are closed. Yeah.
Playgrounds are closed. Okay. How are refunds being handled? Does merely the fear of spreading or contacting the virus justify whether refunds should be offered if programs continue to run as scheduled? And that might be a little outdated if most people have stopped their programs, but
yeah.
How are refunds being handled?
Really from the beginning for us, our approach to that was to provide full refunds. And even if a program or a rental hadn't been canceled, based on the date that their reservation was or their program would take place. If one of our participants or users was uncomfortable under the circumstances, we're providing those full refunds without any sort of penalty whatsoever. I guess the way we look at it is these are our customers. We certainly want them to come back when this is over, and we want them to feel good about how we treated them under these circumstances.
We did the same thing. We did full refunds for all canceled programs. And if there is a program that was registered that's, past this April, middle of May date, programs in June or so forth, if they've called wanted to cancel that, we've honored that. We've done the cancellation.
Okay. For everyone on the call, not many people are answering as well. So make sure you chime in on the group chat, because we will be recording the chat, and so everyone can see the answers across the state. How has your department handled memberships in response to the virus? Do you guys have memberships? I don't even know if you guys have.
Yeah, I think we would look at memberships to be the same as any fees we would charge for programs, events, and so forth. I'm aware that there are a number of community centers here that have memberships that they're extending, basically extending that membership for whatever period of time they may be closed.
Yeah, for our memberships, for the different facilities, we suspended that or just halted that in place, and it will be extended once we're back open. Those will start back up again. Again, we've had some people want to just go ahead and get out of the membership, and we've done that without any questions if they've wanted to cancel. Our approach is similar to Jeff. They're probably doing that because they feel they need that money now with whatever's happening with their work and family. And so we didn't want to stand in the way in that. So we haven't had a lot, but we've had some that have just pulled out of memberships.
Okay. Virtual classes include which fitness youth and adult? So are you guys doing any virtual classes?
You know, some of our creative staff right in the beginning thought they've been working on this, and they really thought somewhat immediately that if folks can't come to us for our programs and activities, then let's look for ways to bring it to them. So I know there's some efforts in doing some video recording to bring some of our services to people, whether that be classes, it could be something, an experience at Ernie Miller Nature Center, something of that along those lines, or a tour of our museum, one of our museums. So we are working on some of those things, and I think it's a great idea. I think as much as you can do that, whether it's through a Facebook Live or something that you record to play later or make available through your websites, I think would be a good idea.
Yeah, similar, we and was really impressed with our fitness crew, our team there. They we closed everything down on Monday the 16th, and we had our first fitness video out on Tuesday the 17th. And so they were able to really respond, and over the last 2 weeks have put together a nice catalog, if you will, of different fitness classes that we have on our Facebook group page and also on our YouTube channel. And the community's responded really well to that. We've done your traditional adult fitness. We've thrown in some youth classes as well. And then, of course, senior fitness classes. So responded really well to that. We're actually the group's out there today at the Nature Center filming our first virtual field trip. One of the popular things in our area is school field trips to the Nature Center in April and May. And so we've adapted that program to a 20-minute virtual field trip. And we've been in contact with local teachers, and they're going to use that as some of their science curriculum as they're sending out. So just really impressed with our staff here and able to do that in such a short amount of time. The other virtual program we're working on is a virtual Third Thursday. That's our monthly community event. You've heard of First Fridays and those sort of things. Ours is Third Thursday. We had to cancel March just because of timing, but we've got a good group of people that are looking at ideas of how we could do a virtual Third Thursday in April. So excited to see what comes from that.
Okay.
Erica, just a note on that. All of those fitness classes are, we're offering that free. You don't have to be a regular member or pay a membership to access those classes. We're providing it for free.
Okay, great. First, I need to apologize. I totally lost the PowerPoint slide. So I apologize for that. But going on to the next questions, kind of the same, and you addressed them a little bit here, but just again, are there any program ideas that follow social distancing or individual online ideas to provide for continuing participation? And then alternative programs that our department's doing now for summer activities that are canceled or delayed?
Yeah, I think I did touch a little bit, Erica, but we're not necessarily programming for people to come together at this point in time. We're waiting to see what happens a little bit here. I know we have our April 23rd date, but I anticipate that could be pushed out a bit further yet. So again, we're exploring some options to bring some things, whether that be classes or experiences that are parks and facilities to the public. Like Tony said, I think we would do so at no charge and welcome everyone to participate in those.
Yeah, we are not programming anything that people would come out to do. It's all virtual at this point. So no program that we would ask somebody to leave their home and come participate in at this time.
Okay, then we're going to go on to the next category. So employees, what are departments doing for all the part-time employees, instructors, officials, etc.? Are they still getting compensated? Do they have the opportunity for hours with other projects or other divisions?
Yeah, so we have a number. Our staff is made up of about 300, give or take, full-time, part-time, partial plus employees. And then we have, depending on the time of year, in the neighborhood of another 1,400 seasonal. Some of those are on board now, some are not. And the short answer is, in some cases, they are reassigned if they're interested and willing to help with other tasks that we have means for. To have additional personnel. In other cases, some just choose to not be involved at this time. Officials can be a good example of that. They're used to rainouts and cancellation of events and so forth. But we did also put into effect an executive order that would give us the ability to give up to 2 weeks of compensation to those seasonal staff or part-time staff at this point in time. And it's a difficult thing to balance with our group, the size it is, and the diverse workforce that we have and tasks that they complete. That is something that we did put into place right at the very beginning in effort to really try and take care of our people. Again, we want them to think highly of us, that how we treated them during this difficult time, and recognize that they have means to support their families too. So we're managing that right now. It's a little clunky, to be honest with you, but we're doing our best to take care of all of our folks as we go through this.
Yeah, very, very similar. All, as we classify them, seasonal staff, as far as official site supervisors, those individuals, we just don't have the work for them. They're not working right now. And again, most of those that's supplemental income. While important to them, it's not their main source of income. So it hurts a little bit, but we really needed to focus on protecting those positions in HUTCHREC that we are their main source of income. That was a lot of the backing of why we're doing our senior meals and keeping our nature center open, is to give some of our part-time employees some work to do and keep them busy. out at some of our sports complex. We're doing a lot of cleaning and spruce up and those kind of things. So we're going to try to keep our intermittent and part-time staff busy as long as we can. With that, we did have to do about 10 temporary layoffs through our senior center. We just put the center closed. We didn't have the work, and that stung, but we got to protect the agency too. So hopefully this is temporary. We can bring them back on and maybe help them on the back end of this is our hope.
Okay. I think you addressed the next couple questions. I'm just going to rattle them off. And then if you guys felt like you didn't address it, then go ahead. What are organizations doing to compensate part-time staff that are not allowed to work during facility closures? How many people are allowing part-time staff to get their hours during the shutdown? And what steps have you taken with part-time staff in regards to working, not working this time? I think you all have addressed that, but if you felt that you haven't, go ahead.
Yeah, I might just add one thing here, Erica, and part of our approach, depending on how long this goes too, there will be some priorities that we have to develop. And so as far as keeping staff working, obviously our full-time staff will be a big priority with that, and our part-time, partial plus staff, and so on. Again, we hope to take care of everybody as best we possibly can, but recognize the situation that we're in. And with JCPRD's budget being nearly 50% enterprise fund operations, which are all shut down at this point in time, or a majority of them are, depending on how long it goes on, that's something we'll have to closely monitor, as Tony kind of alluded to.
Yeah, I think of it. Oh, sorry, Erica, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to add the virtual fitness classes as well. That's how we're keeping our instructors employed, is by offering that. So doing our best to keep everyone working the best we can.
We did develop a what I call a task board. And so it's on our intranet site. And so encouraged all of our supervisors and managers, departments, to think of things that, I mean, we have all been in a position where we've said, if I just had more time and more people, I could accomplish some of these things that I would like to get done. So we have a pretty active task board that we're working from. In fact, we had to assemble a team to manage that in redeployment, reassignments, trying to have the appropriate matches to start working on some of those things. So they are, in fact, true needs that we need to be addressing. And so it was a good way for us to redeploy some folks in somewhat of an organized fashion.
Erica, I see a comment from Troy. Hi, Troy, there in Wichita. I do believe the part of this package that Congress just passed, there is some new FMLA requirements coming out in that. So that's new. I haven't had a chance to look at that. So if you guys haven't seen that, you might want to get a copy of that, because that could greatly affect how we manage staff over the next couple months.
Yes, and that was what I was referring to at the very beginning for those that may have jumped on later. There are three links that will be on our website, on the website that was on the screen before I lost it. It's just our website. You can easily get to the page. But I will send those out as well and post on the discussion forum. But three links to basically interpretations from the Department of Labor on everything that came out from the bill. Are either of you going to half staffs? So I'm assuming that means full-time people going, reducing hours. And what does that schedule look like? Is it day to day, week to week? How are you doing that? If you are.
Half-staffed. At this point in time, our full-time employees continue to work. we haven't initiated any kind of half staff, but a couple of the things that we have encouraged folks to look at is to, again, in practicing some of that social distancing, that some folks have been redeployed to work from home. We've been able to set up VPN access to allow them to have that connectivity when appropriate. We're also encouraging shift the scheduling. Think of it as a 7-day work week, not a 5-day work week. Allow some flexibility where it's appropriate to work in evenings, weekends, et cetera, to be able to get the work done, yet have that that distancing from each other as well. So those are a couple of things we've encouraged folks to think through as they're scheduling staff.
Yeah, we haven't cut any full-time staff or reduced hours for full-time staff. They're continuing to work. Those that don't have a direct program right now, that would be the Senior Center and the Nature Center. Everyone else is work from home. At this point, we were able to deploy that again, surprisingly fast. Great team we have here to make that all work. So doing a lot of Zoom calls and a lot of those projects, as Jeff said, that if we only had time to do this, well, we're trying to get those done now to keep our full-time staff busy. Going back to that earlier discussion, our goal is to protect our full-time and our qualified part-time positions throughout this, and that'll be the focus as we move forward.
And that kind of rolls into our next couple of questions. So the challenges with a work from home, and are there any suggestions on, you know, the best way to do that, to make it an easy transition?
We've just started experiencing that this week, where we were able to provide some of that connectivity. Folks being able to, while a bit uncomfortable, use their personal PCs at home to do work. So we'll be evaluating that, stressing the importance of having that communication, even if through Zoom or some other resource with staff, developing those work plans with staff or for staff before deploying them to work from home, I think is important. Because it is a work day, and so we want to be able to tell the story of what we were able to accomplish, even with staff having to work from home. We have a number of folks, or departments, I should say, that are doing kind of a rotation, understanding there is value to working in the office as well, and so it could be where our finance department, for example, they may have half of the team working from home for a couple of days, and then it flips to where the other half does so. So they're able to come in here and stagger it that way. So it's unique to each department, I think, and we're working our way through it, understanding that it is a disruption and maybe not quite so convenient. So they're just different examples across our entire organization and how we're managing that time and getting the work done.
Yeah, and we're definitely learning as we go. It's, you know, a new experience prior to, going into a work from home. We created some work plans for everybody to do, again, through project management systems that we have and Zoom capability. Feeling pretty comfortable right now that we're staying busy and getting a lot of things done. But it's new, and so as this drags on, you know, maybe we'll do another one of these sometime and see how it all worked. But I think the key for us is just keeping that work plan relevant and timely to the situation and doing regular check-ins.
Yeah, and I might add, too, that I'm not sure if there's a question related to it, but folks that are working from home, does that include exempt and non-exempt staff? For us, it does. While that's not our normal practice to have non-exempt staff having that kind of connectivity to our network 24 hours a day and remotely, these are extreme circumstances where We have provided that access and certainly are allowing a number of our non-exempt staff to do their work from home if they can possibly do so.
Jeff, that wasn't a question, so I'm glad you addressed that. The other kind of question along those lines is, this person asked specifically processing enrollment business through RecTrack. So I'm guessing there's no remote access. So are you guys just having people come into the office if there's no remote access to something that you utilize, software?
We've been fairly fortunate. We actually have been able to assign our registration staff to work from home, even setting up the call centers to where they are running through Jabber to where they can manage those calls at home. And our registration software, as long as they have internet connectivity, they can manage those registrations as well. So we are set up to do that. And so far, the last update I had was that it's been working pretty well.
Same here. We were able to just through the software we have in the registration system, our staff can do those registrations or monitor those from home and access those. Also with our phone system, that's a voice over IP system. They can take calls coming into the office from home, just like they would be here at the office. So that frontline staff, they're continuing to answer phones, continuing to respond to emails, process refunds, those sort of things from home. Our only system that it requires to come in is obviously our payroll and finance systems. We have limited access to some of those areas of those systems. And so finance is continuing to come in to process accounts payable and those sort of things.
Okay, so what are you doing to keep in touch with employees and keeping your employees engaged during the closures?
Well, I think for us, it varies again from one work group to another. I know I can speak for example that this isn't normal practice to have meetings every day with our superintendents or cabinet level staff, but we have a Zoom meeting every morning at 8:15 just to start the day and work through some of the challenges we're experiencing, some of the things we foresee. So to a certain extent, we're engaged even a little bit more at times, but encourage again our supervisors, managers, et cetera, to make sure that they have that work plan. They have plenty of check-ins where they're talking about progress and challenges and just make sure that we have good connection with our folks, no matter where they're working from or what time they are working.
Agreed. We're meeting more now than we did before. We're not doing daily. We're doing twice a week with our leadership team through Zoom, more of just a check-in and update on the situation as it evolves here in Hutchinson. And again, following that work plan and making sure that's relevant to what we need, how we're doing it.
Okay, and kind of along those lines, how are you fostering innovation and creativity, creating creative ways to find or to connect and serve the public, I believe?
Yeah, I'm sure this is across the entire state. We have some of the most creative people just being in the profession that we're in. And so just encouraging folks to be creative and think outside of the box. There's a lot of good ideas that do come up and better in ways that we can provide the services we provide. So there's a number of examples, you know, I shared early on with Ernie Miller Nature Center being closed. There was the thought of just doing some live streaming video or maybe even a recording to bring some of those services to folks. Just one creative example, but we've got creative people in our industry nationwide. And so I don't think there's any lack of creativity in coming up with some of those things.
Agreed. You know, we've actually had the problem of saying no to some things. You know, the staff's just gotten real creative, and just being able to turn those ideas around, you know, in a day's time in a lot of cases. And so no problem having having staff come up with new ideas and ways to stay relevant in the community and keep our folks active and healthy.
I think just remembering to ask your teams to, you know, what are their ideas? Have they, do they have any suggestions in what we might be able to, how we might be able to serve the community? And it can be well outside of the scope of what we typically do. I mean, this, what I am finding is that this is a time, maybe a time greater than any other, that our community does need the services we provide and the professionals that we have. And, you know, I shared this with Erica on email last night. I can't wait for our next bond rating and to have those conversations with those folks that do those ratings to say park and recreation services are non-essential, because I've got a story for them to say otherwise.
That's awesome. That was a fun email. Okay. The next question is about hiring for summer. So just kind of lay out what you guys are doing, and how are you also doing your summer training?
So we have put in place a hiring freeze, or I may even call it a slowdown. And that's for all full-time, part-time, seasonal positions. I think we just need to hit that pause button to see how long this goes on, so that we don't bring additional staff on board to add to some of the challenges that we're experiencing today. And saying that, we are accepting those applications for those positions, more for part-time and seasonal, not so much full-time right now. But in case we are put in a position where we can bring those services to the community this late spring or this summer, perhaps.
Very similar here. We're continuing to accept applications for our seasonal summer positions and collecting those. We're just still right now working out what that looks like. So we've hit the pause button as well for a couple weeks here. We've been focused on shutting spring down, if you will, and adapting to this new virtual delivery method. But next week, we will start having conversations about what that hiring process looks like when we expect facilities to be open. Our summer activity guide hits mailboxes this week or next week. So like around April 1st is when the summer activity guide is available. We're going to go ahead and prepare some messaging around that, that we have every intention of performing or offering those programs in the activity guide, from youth sports to aquatics to our community events, but understand that it will look different. We might have shortened seasons. We'll have to extend some registration times. So we're going to message that out to the community to let them know that we're still working on those things. And once this is over, we're going to welcome them back with a lot of cool programs, but it probably won't look like it usually does.
Okay. All right. So that was the end of employees. We're going to go on to summer activities, and this goes right into it. So I'm going to ask you about four or five questions, and they're all very related. So you can, but if you need me to repeat them, let me know. So what anticipated changes do you see for summer sports programs? When are departments planning for summer programs and sports to start up? And what are the thoughts around summer activities might begin, and how far out are others delaying the programming? And would cancellations of all summer activities be out of the question? That was loaded. Go for it. Yeah,
absolutely. I think that's really the question. Those are some of the questions we all have. As things continue to evolve, as mentioned, it's so fluid right now that we're all watching and waiting to see when we might be able to open things back up and offer the programs and whatnot that we can. So we haven't shifted so much things back because we don't know when we'll be able to reintroduce these services again. So I think we're kind of in a holding pattern right now in the sense of offering any kind of dates. We do have things on the books, whether that be tournaments and events and whatnot, that we continue to plan for until otherwise, it's stated that we need to cancel them. So the April 23rd date is our date right now. We'll continue to plan and program while delaying any expenditures that we possibly can until we learn more about it here in the near future.
Very similar, a holding pattern as far as the public's concerned, but have tasked our staff to come up with three scenarios for each of our programs that, what does it look like to move everything back, keep the same registration period and just move things back? Should we extend the season in that way? Should we shorten the season? So from youth sports to community events to aquatics, we're trying to do three scenarios or have three scenarios available to us by the middle of April. And then that way, as this moves forward, we can just hopefully we've one of those three is the right one and we can deploy that. So that's how we're keeping busy right now in that regard.
Okay. For departments that have travel programs, when will you start planning for travel again?
Well, again, I think that's a great question. We don't know yet. We do have a rather extensive travel program. And certainly at the very beginning, we had some folks that were planning on some of the trips that we program that we're choosing to back out of it at this point in time, understandably so. So I think we'll have to wait and see when those restrictions have been lifted. Our staff will continue to work on plans moving forward, but it likely will not be in the short term here. We'll be looking a little further down the road. I'm not aware of any specific dates on when our next trip that hasn't been canceled, when our next trip might take place. I think that's just a big question mark at this point.
Same for us, just unknown at this time. That would fall into our planning that we're doing. Those would probably be one that would be canceled earlier rather than later, just depending on when that trip is. I would be surprised at any of our local trips that we do through our senior center happen in May, but we're not counting them out yet. We'll see what the scenarios look like, but just to wait and see at this point.
Yeah, I think this probably goes without saying, but any trips or events and things of that nature that may have some heavy expenditures in advance, down payments and whatnot, I think you would want to have some good discussion on whether you move forward with that or not, and maybe even visiting with your health officials to see what they're forecasting before you make those significant investments.
Okay. This kind of goes along the same lines, but could potentially be different. So when are you making the decision on summer camp? Is that the same as your summer programs?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Here's the big one. Pools. Are you opening on time, late, not at all? And if we still have the restriction in place, are you going to open the pool up? So say you can only have 10 people there. Are you still opening it up?
If that was the case for us, I wouldn't think that we would do so for 10 people. We currently, JCPRD manages and operates an indoor facility, so it's year-round. It's the Shawnee Mission School District Aquatic Facility, and it is down right now. We do have limited staff that are allowed in the building for maintenance purposes, but that is it. But I just the, knowing the cost of aquatics operations to continue moving forward, just allowing 10 patrons in per day, I would doubt that that would be something that would be feasible.
Agreed. I would be surprised if there was any gathering restrictions in place, so we would open the pool 50, 100. It just probably wouldn't make sense to go through that exercise if there's a gathering restriction. But again, falls back into those planning scenarios. At what point is too late to open the pool? I'm sure we'll have that date set that if we get to that point in time and we don't see an avenue of those restrictions being lifted, we would announce the closure at that time. So a lot of wait and see on those things.
Kind of along those same lines, what about allowing for private lessons or physical therapy in your pools?
We're not allowing it right now. Again, in our partnership with the Shawnee Mission School District, we're not allowing any of the public in that facility at this point in time. It is just limited to staff only. And quite frankly, even our non-aquatics facilities, that's the same case.
We don't have an indoor facility, but it would be similar to what we're doing with our fitness. No in-person programming, even if it's one-on-one or less than five. We're not holding any in-person programming at this time.
Okay, so these next couple of questions are kind of about the future. So let's just ask us, how are you moving forward? Like your new normal, budget cuts coming, planning for different scenarios. How are you guys planning for the future?
Yeah, we are trying to plan as far as budget is concerned. We're taking a good look at our 2020 budget. I think I mentioned about half of our budget is nearly enterprise fund operations. So they're being significantly impacted at this point in time. So we're discouraging having any expenditures related to that, at least for any near short-term programming and event purposes. And we'll be going through an exercise quite heavily next week to take a look at it line item by line item to adjust where we can adjust in effort to manage the finances. We're looking at the general fund operations as well. Really, there's a lot of questions in what that might look like here, even through the remainder of 2020. We don't count on any sales tax for our general fund operations, but there could be some property tax impacts related to this, depending on how long this goes on. So we are delaying where we can any of our major expenditures, such as capital investments that are not in progress currently or where we've committed to. But also, I mentioned the hiring freeze that's in place. We've frozen travel at this point in time, training that is not required for the position, taking measures like that just to try and minimize expenditures as best we can.
Very similar. April and May is our normal budget planning time for the next fiscal year. So we were just getting geared up to look at our fiscal year 2021. So we'll continue to do that, but also probably take a closer look at what our 2020 outcome is, it looks like, and how this could affect it. Similar to Jeff, 55% of our budget is enterprise related based on fees. The nice thing about that is so is most of our expenditures in those areas. So if we're not having the program, we're not spending the money as well. So what we hope that holds true throughout this next month, if not 2 months. Very similar, we're not spending any money we don't have to. No supplies, just staffing really at this point in our normal operations for utilities and so forth. But again, doing what we can in these last 2 weeks to prepare. And as we move through April, hopefully we get a better picture of what this looks like for us.
Okay. So we are a little past the hour that I was thinking that we would go through. Tony and Jeff, are you okay staying on? We have about four more questions on communication.
Yes, I'm fine, Erica.
Yeah, I'm okay. I knew you could make it in an hour, Erica, so please.
I was trying. I was putting questions together. I was trying. Okay, so these are kind of more along the lines of communication. So, you know, communication to the public, if you can talk about this at all, you know, and then, you know, what you're doing now, whether it's communicating about your programs, sign language for signs that are keeping people off playground equipment. And then also you can roll into what might happen after this is all over. You know, are there still going to be fears that will remain in the public, and how are you going to tackle that?
Yeah, certainly communication is very important and something we're trying to stay on top of. The signage piece of it, I'll offer this. We'd be happy to share anything that we are putting out there, whether it be internally or externally, and signage being included on that. In fact, we have, with some of our neighboring agencies, we've shared examples of signs that we've been drafting, specifically the closure of courts and playgrounds, and those, a lot of those agencies have adopted that same language. So there is a consistent message. We continue to communicate that kind of stuff with our neighboring agencies as best we can. So we're making those decisions in sync. So, you know, obviously social media, it's hard to get in front of it. We're fortunate that we do have a marketing and communications department that is focused on that, and a staff member that is dedicated towards digital media. And so really responding to questions and concerns from the public as best we can stay up with it, which is a monumental task in itself, but communicating. And I think it's important to let our folks, let our communities know that we're here in this with them. We're doing the best we can to provide the services that we can continue to provide, but it is a partnership with them that we need them to follow some of the guidelines that have been put out by the health department and the CDC so that we can continue to do so. After the fact, I don't know. We'll see how we'll be able to ease back into the services that we were providing. I think naturally there will be some hesitation, in participating in large events or where there's groups of people, but we'll all learn that when we get closer to that point in time. Again, our parks and our trails and the things that we do have available to the public is really seeing some incredible visitation right now. Even on weekday mornings and afternoons, just the traffic that we're having is of great volume. And I know I visited with somebody out west in the Washington area, and they were experiencing the same thing to the point where they had to close their parking lots in their parks just because of the volume of traffic to try and encourage walk-in traffic only. So I don't know what is down the road for us when this is all said and done, but I like to think that our folks will come back to us. They'll remember how we treated them as we went through this together. What we will do is make sure that we're working closely with the health department and following their advice on when we can provide the services again.
Yeah, you know, so communication is obviously a priority for us at this time. You know, we're fortunate that we have two full-time staff members that we could dedicate to communications to the public. For all major announcements or cancellations, you know, we've done news releases, and with our local media here, they've done a good job of pushing that out. Obviously, social media is a big part of what we do. And so just continuing that information flow through those channels, mixed with, you know, I've seen a lot of you across the state do daily, you know, isolation tips if you're, you know, stuck at home, things you can do to keep yourself active. On our senior center membership, again, a way to keep some of our key staff busy. We're making weekly phone calls to our members just to check in. Of course, with the lunch program, we're seeing a lot of them through that program, but also that personal touch in that level. And just our regular email and radio communications. Our radio spots have changed a little bit more about what we're doing now to respond to this, more so than promoting a program at this time. So just really looking at how we can take advantage of the communication channels we've had open in the past and how we can stay relevant. Similar to Jeff, our hope is that they remember that, you know, as we went through this on how we've handled this and how we've tried to respond to their social and activity needs that they're facing today. And when things get back to normal, they'll continue to support us.
Okay. The last communication question, and Jeff, I think you're probably going to have the answer for this because you started off with this. Taking advantage of showing that we are an essential service, how can we capture our story in real time?
I guess I did get a little bit ahead of the game here. Yeah, I definitely. I mean, we all know we're essential services to our communities, and I think that's really obvious today. And every chance that I get when I'm visiting with our elected officials or our administrative staff that we've been working with at the county level, talking about this is the opportunity when folks really are going to be coming to us. And I think it's pretty obvious right now to those that are opening their eyes at all that that we really are an essential service. I think once we get through this, or as we get through this, we need to work together and really capture this and tell the story of how we were able to provide some of the services that we provide, and really even expand on that as we went through this together. I think it's becoming more and more clear to folks. Of course, we always knew it, but there will be a lot of stories to share when this is all said and done. There's no doubt.
Agree. You know, we need to be documenting the best we can, you know, as we go through this, and hopefully at the end we can have a storytelling effort on behalf of all of our members across the state of what we already know, that we are essential, and in even more times when there's crises around. So don't know what that looks like exactly, but hopefully we can all get together and put it together to communicate how essential we are every day in Kansas.
I think it'll be an opportunity as well where we have some strategic efforts, whether that be through surveying the community and really talking about the value of the services we provide. You know, there's things that we've had to take away, and sometimes you take it for granted what you have until you lose it for a moment. So there may be an opportunity to really capture some feedback from folks, or how much they appreciated, or maybe what they discovered coming into our parks now that they don't have their restaurants and bars and all the other places that they're used to are used to going to. So I think we'll, you know, this is a great time to get out and keep your distance, but do some video, do some pictures, you know, share those with the community and with those decision makers as well. I think it'll be impactful.
Great. Okay, so that is the end of the questions that we had sent in to us from our members. Let's just take about 4 or 5 minutes. And if anyone has a question, go ahead and put it in the group chat. That's something that we didn't cover before. And then we'll try to get that answered. So if you have a question that we did not cover, go ahead and put it in the group chat. Not seeing anything yet. Does anyone have anything? Okay. Well, thank you all for participating today. If a question wasn't answered, please, you can always ask it. Okay, wait, we had one come in. Does anyone have any internal or hypothetical dates to where you will make decisions on summer or aquatic programs? Or is this all just day to day?
Yeah, I think from some of the discussions I've participated in with our group is we're kind of looking at that May 1 date for, you know, as we get closer to that, making some decisions on what we may or may not be able to do here in the near future, whether it be this later this spring or into the summer. I think there's just, we're still so much on that up part of the curve right now. There's just so many unknowns, but we're kind of looking at that May 1 date. I know I keep saying April 23rd, but we're looking at that to really maybe driving some additional decisions on our part.
Yeah, we don't have a date yet. My goal is by April 15th, we have those scenarios in place. And so at that time, I'm hoping to have those kind of dates where we can't go past them to be successful in the program. So that's really the work over the next 3 weeks for us is developing those scenarios and establishing those dates and try to communicate that to our board and to the public, and if we can, in a way that doesn't confuse them on what we're doing. Really try to be transparent as possible as we go into the summer.
Okay, great. As I was saying, thank you for participating. If a question did not get answered or you think of something later, you can always post it in the discussion. Just remember that you have 1,300 of your closest colleagues going through the same thing, and we're all here to help. We'll get through this, and we're going to be stronger for it. If things drastically change in the state of Kansas, we'll host another one of these and see how things have changed across the state. So hopefully that won't happen. But if things do drastically change, we'll try to host another one of these. So thank you, everyone, and stay safe.
Thanks, guys. Good luck.
Yep.